First of all, what's different this time compared to last year?
Well, I think the situation for our party and for the country is way more challenging. We've had the coronavirus epidemic. We've now got the deepest economic recession for 300 years. And that's on top of Brexit looks like it's going to happen and the climate emergency. So with those challenging times and with our party having had a very poor general election, I think it's important that we have someone who's got some real vision to get us out of this economic mess, and also some experience who's actually been in Parliament for a while and been in government and knows how to get things done. And as a campaigner to my fingertips, I believe I can lead the party to campaign success.
So your tagline is vision, experience, leadership. Does the party need experience or does it need a clean slate?
Oh, it needs experience. When you've got the challenge of trying to turn around, you know, several years of poor performance in the polls and in the elections, I think you need someone who really is rooted in the party and knows how we, when we win those grassroots campaigning, we can start winning at general elections. I've fought seven elections. I've won six of them. And indeed, I'm the only Liberal Democrat MP in the history of the party to have won a seat that we weren't expecting to win in the 97 election. And so I think that experience is what the party needs. I helped co-commission the general election review, which makes some tough reading for the party. It's quite uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable because I ensured that we had an independent chair who was going to ask the tough questions and a remit that looked back over the last few years. And the general election review would give me a mandate to make the sorts of reforms to the party and particularly to talk to the voters in clearer terms, in to the issues that are relevant for people, whether it's in the health service and the care sector, whether it's in education, whether it's on climate change, the environment. And I think I have that, both that vision and experience, which is what people are looking for from a political leader and a political party.
So what are your plans for internal party reform?
Well, first of all, we've got to ensure that we invest in local campaigning again. You know, we've not done that properly. We've had a much more centralised approach, which actually goes against our traditions and our philosophy. And I think that has got in the way of local campaigners knowing what the core issues are for their community, getting those over. So I would want to invest in that local campaigning far more, and indeed as we used to do. But I would also want to make sure that as the party leader, the general election review is very clear. We need from the party leader a very clear vision of what a Liberal Democrat offer at a general election would be. And I would be talking about green jobs. I published my Green Recovery Plan, which is addressing the deep economic recession we've got and talks about how we could get people working through a green jobs guarantee with training, with a minimum national living wage. And that would be in things like insulating people's homes, which is vital to tackle climate change. It helps people save on heating bills, can tackle fuel poverty, and it can create jobs as well. And I'm very taken by some of the nature restoration we need to do. It's often called rewilding nowadays, where people are helping with it. It's planting trees, restoring peat boglands, a whole range of natural environmental work that is often forgotten. But in the past, when countries have been trying to recover from economic problems, it's been a really good way, sensible way to invest money and to create jobs. So that's a sort of quite dramatic shift I'd like to see. And I've got a very positive response from Liberal Democrat members.
So I was reading about your green economy programme, and you want to invest £150 billion over 3 years and a £350 billion package. As you said, this could be a major depression, the likes of which haven't been seen for 300 years. So where's the money coming from?
Well, first of all, it would come from borrowing, because borrowing is at a historic low. We've never had such cheap borrowing. And the Bank of England is already pumping money into the economy. Yesterday, they talked about quantitative easing, where they put money into the economy of £100 billion. Now, there's debate about how that money is spent. I would like to see that £100 billion spent on investing to tackle climate change. That seems a really good use of that sort of money. At the moment, that money is not, there's no democratic accountability for how that money is pumped into the system. So there's an example of where you could immediately get some money that's actually being spent at the moment, but not, I don't think, is being spent in exactly the right ways. I'd also look at the roads programme. You know, I think there's a dramatic increase in road spending by the Conservatives, and I actually think some of that is not needed, and you could use some of that money into the green transport plans I've got. whether it's electric vehicle charging points, whether it's promoting active transport, walking and cycling, or whether it's investing in good public transport. And so it's not just a question of borrowing, it's a question of reallocating money. And some of the money the Conservatives want to invest is actually on areas that would harm our climate, not improve it.
Is there a specific example you have in mind of that?
Well, I talked about the roads programme. It's currently nearly £30 billion. If we halve that, that would create a lot of money to invest in green transport. Also, the Heathrow third runway, I didn't think that that was needed anyway. And now people can video conference with Zoom and so on. The need for travel is going to reduce significantly, even after this appalling virus. And therefore, the case for a third runway at Heathrow is shot to pieces. Now, the government had set aside billions of pounds for the road and transport infrastructure to go into Heathrow as it expanded. That's no longer needed. So let's spend that again on the things we'll need in a zero carbon future. And that can create jobs now. So, you know, it is about taking tough decisions. It's about your priorities. My priorities, the Liberal Democrat priorities, are very different from the Conservatives. And I think my Green Jobs recovery plan shows that. And I just hope that when the Chancellor gets round to a recovery programme for our economy, and boy, do we need it, I hope that he will focus on these sorts of issues. I hope he'll be as ambitious as Liberal Democrats are. I mean, I come to this as someone who was the Cabinet Minister for Energy and Climate Change. And under my tenure, when I was in office, we nearly quadrupled Britain's renewable power. I signed off more wind and solar farms than any British politician in history. We saw a great leap forward, and Britain became the world leader in offshore wind. So I showed what was possible when you had a Liberal Democrat in government prioritising the climate, having to fight the Tories who didn't want to do it. And I believe, therefore, that gives me and the party the credibility to talk about how we would get a green future. I've called it a green revolution because I think it needs that sort of seismic shift if we're going to tackle the climate emergency, and through tackling the climate emergency, bring our economy out of the mess that it's in.
So a part of that is you're bringing forward the ban on petrol cars from 2040 to 2030. It was already brought forward to 2035, and that was met with criticism by the government. You want to bring it forward an extra 5 years. Why? And will the cons outweigh the pro? Will the pros outweigh the cons?
Oh, the pros are huge. I mean, first of all, it's a massive boost for health, because local air pollution, the air we breathe in my constituency, Kingston and Surbiton, and all across it, urban and suburban areas, would see a real significant improvement, and that improves our health. People who have cardiac problems, who have respiratory problems, and so I think that's a pretty good reason for wanting to do it early. But it's also, of course, has an impact on our action against climate change. And so I think there's huge environmental and health benefits by bringing it forward. And you know what? If we did bring it forward, we'd be in line with other countries. So at the moment, we're trailing other countries. Other countries have targets of one, I think it's Norway, has it, of 2025. But other countries like Germany, which is a very big car manufacturing country, has it ahead of us already. So, you know, we would be going with the grain. And I'm just disappointed that our own government isn't more ambitious.
And finally, what's the number one thing policy-wise you would change in the country right now?
The Green Recovery Plan. We have a number of challenges, but the biggest challenge is the economy. You know, I'm deeply worried about the people who are losing jobs or have their incomes cut. I'm worried about the self-employed who haven't been properly supported by this government during the crisis. I'm worried about the businesses that are going bust. I mean, this is traumatic. And we have to have serious policies to tackle that. As a trained economist, as someone who's created jobs through my work on climate change, I can see that being a big part. And it, here in my constituency, imagine if we had a serious programme of home insulation on our social housing, in the sectors, like the private rental sector, where there's quite a lot of fuel poverty. You can make a massive difference by just improving people's homes. And that, I think, would end up being very popular. It wouldn't just create the jobs we need, but it will help people cut their heating bills. So there's a real win-win here, but we just need to be ambitious.